Voices of the Temple, official podcast of the Temple of Witchcraft, exploring mystery and magic through love, will, and wisdom, hosted by Adam Sartwell. Hi, listeners, and welcome to our Taurus / Sagittarius podcast. I'll get us started with our invocation. I call to the Great Spirit. I call to the two who move as one, through the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. I call upon the goddess, maiden, mother, and crone, past, present, and future, sustainer, creator, and destroyer, weaver of the web. I call to the God, Lord of light and Lord of darkness, God of the green and the gold, God of the horn and the red, singer of the song. Be with us now and forever, so mote it be. Now for this podcast, I am interviewing Jocelyn, our Taurus minister and treasurer on the board of directors. Jocelyn is an accomplished horsewoman, so she has horse shows and farming to do during when Taurus actually happens. So she's very, very busy during that time, and we couldn't nail down a date. So instead, we traded Sagittarius, which was Christopher Penzack, one of our founders and the Sagittarius minister, for her time slot. He also happens to be a Taurus, so he kind of got a kick out of that, I'm sure. So we did that. And now we have to do, you know, her podcast during Sagittarius. And since it's the winter months, she had a couple of days to come on over, and we picked one out, and we got this great podcast. Jocelyn is also doing one of our temple teaching series that is at Myths and Maidens in Manchester. She will be doing The Environmental Witch on March 23rd. And we talk about it in the podcast, but during that moment, we couldn't think of the exact date that it was on. So I'm just saying it beforehand, and I will say it again after so that you can get that down in your calendars if you really want to learn more about being environmental, how to lessen your footprint on our world so that, you know, the world can feel better. During this podcast, Jocelyn names a website that you can go to get an energy audit for your personal use. The website is www.nhsea.org, and it is the Northeast Solar Energy Society that puts it on. You should click on the link at the bottom of the page under Walk the Talk, and it will download a PDF file that gives people a way to calculate their green energy score. So I'll also name that again at the end of the podcast, and see if I can figure out how to link it to the podcast. I don't know. I'm not computer savvy, so but I'll attempt. If it doesn't work out, well, you can listen to the podcast again and get that at the end of the podcast. So without further ado, I will give you our interview. Hi, listeners. This is Adam, and I'm here with Jocelyn, our Taurus minister. As you'll remember from my Sagittarius podcast, when Taurus came around, we had to sort of switch them, because Jocelyn is a very accomplished horsewoman and had a lot of horse shows to go to. But we'll just start right in. So, what brought you to witchcraft?
Well, more than anything else, witchcraft came to me. I was born a medium and had certain unexplainable experiences. And witchcraft helped me to understand and control that gift Which, when I was young, I had thought of kind of as a curse.
You're a medium. Can you tell us about what mediumship is like? What is it like for you?
First of all, I didn't choose to be a medium. I started having experiences of the dead seeking me out when I was a teenager. I found this very unsettling when people that I had known or I would have known if I had met the friends that I was then with sooner, that one was particularly scary. And so I kept having these experiences of the dead coming to me saying, "Can you give a message to so-and-so?" And so-and-so was usually someone I knew. When I was in college, I met a woman who is a witch, and she kind of inspired me to work with this little problem that I had. Didn't really teach me about witchcraft, but was a witch in my presence. Mm-hmm. And made it look like something, hey, I should look into that. I taught myself to meditate to start to control my experiences, and I learned meditation from books, which people tell me is a very hard thing to do, and I don't recommend it. But I gained control of the experiences, and also started having experiences with certain beings out of mythology, and I thought that was kind of freaky. So that brought me one step closer to witchcraft. And it kind of went from there. I needed to find out more and learn more, and so I started taking classes, and it just kind of snowballed from there, and I'm pretty much a witch. As far as working as a medium, I feel like I'm acting as a bridge and a translator between the living and the dead. And the vast majority of my clients, and I consider the dead my clients, not the living, mm-hmm. Are untimely deaths, usually suicides. One, I think, was a suicide as a result of cancer. Mm-hmm. And that type of work requires a great deal of discernment of, well, what can you say to the person who's living who has come to you and said, I need to talk to this person, and to support their grieving process as well as mediate between the person who's dead and the person who's still alive and is having to cope. And that's kind of hard. I enjoy being able to do it, though. It gives me a great deal of satisfaction. And witchcraft really has given me the discernment to be able to do that job really well.
Cool. So, as you said, you must already label yourself a witch or using another label.
I have pretty much used the label of witch since I started my course in self-study, 18 years ago. Mm-hmm. I can't think of any other label that describes who I am and what I do any better than that one. And I also don't usually tell people right off when I meet them, hi, I'm Jocelyn, I'm a witch. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Because most of the people that I meet outside of witchcraft, you know, we will develop some sort of relationship, friendship, what have you, and they get to know me, and then sometime later, it kind of comes out in conversation. I'm a witch. And they're like, wow, but you're not like I thought a witch might be. Mm-hmm. And I think that gives, on an individual basis, a positive name. You know, puts a positive spin on the word witch. And so that person can then go tell their friends, yeah, I have this friend who's a witch. She's really cool. And I think that is, in the long run, going to do more to take away the negativity surrounding the word witch than many things.
I think that when someone declares that they're a witch, they also have to think about the fact that all the people around them see them and then put them into that witch image, and then you're representing all witches.
Yep.
And
like that.
So when you represent us, please do it right. So all right, so let's get to your Taurus stuff. You are in charge of the Taurus ministry. What does the Taurus ministry do?
Well, the Taurus ministry's focus is the Earth, the planet, the material things on it, and our relationship, our human relationship existence on this planet. I deal with the very real things of food and water kind of on a global scale. And the ministry will handle topics on the environment and on animal welfare, which is their part of that synergistic relationship with the mothership, with with this planet. I am happy to announce you are the first ears that get to hear about a Taurus ministry project for this spring, which is an organic seed purchase for members, and I will be that'll go out over the email waves pretty soon, I hope. I have a very good source that does bulk order and group order seeds, many of which are organically grown, some of which are also New England local grown, especially in the state of Maine. And they do bulk discounts. And I thought if there were temple members who were gardeners, small or large, or in between, wanted to drop me an email after the email goes out, my email will be on there, and I'll put together an order through that seed company and distribute it. Deadline for that is going to be probably March 1st. So this is kind of a short-term project, but hopefully in future years we can continue this if there's enough interest.
Well, that's cool. And people can reach you at taurus@templeofwitchcraft.org?
Yes.
Yes. We have all the ministers like that.
Yes.
So what makes you uniquely qualified for this ministry?
I have a very deep connection with Mother Earth. This is, in fact, one of the other things that brought me to witchcraft. Tried living in the city once, couldn't do it.
It's definitely an adjustment.
I've been a farmer for the past 17 years. I've lived with a home that is 85% off the electrical grid. We have a solar electric and wind generated electric, and we've been doing that since 1992. So I have a very good grasp of energy conservation, of the ways that we can, as individuals, lessen our impact on the environment. I also, one of the reasons I started in the farming when I had the opportunity to, where I could have picked any number of things to do at that point in my life, was because I was starting to gain an understanding of how our food in the United States, here in the U.S., is raised, and was quite frankly disgusted with it and thought, I can't eat that. Mm-hmm. So I started, you know, raising my own, a little of this, a little of that. I did beef for a while. And I still occasionally will raise one. Some pigs, some chicken, eggs. I let other people raise vegetables mostly at this point because I'm a lousy gardener. Mm-hmm. I know how to do it. That's kind of, I think, why I'm in this position mm-hmm. right now. I would, you know, love to have other people who had this interest helping.
Yeah. But, from the Virgo standpoint, I'm very thankful to have, you know, a new volunteer coordinator and, you know, have someone taking care of the healing list for me. So I can see where you're coming from on that. So you've run an ecological farm. Can you tell us, well, you've already sort of told us why you chose that, but,
I do have more to say about that.
All right. So. What is it like? Well, what made you choose it? What is it like to run one, and what benefits do you think are gained from living that way?
The biggest benefit to me has been an overall increase in my health. Mm-hmm. Now, I have noticed, I had very bad allergies, and I don't really have them anymore.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, very occasional times of the year. So that, what I have done in terms of my food supply has really made a big difference. The big thing that got me into raising my own meat was... Soon after we started making our own hay in 1994, which that was for the horses, mm-hmm. Our tractor dealer started sending us their trade magazine for customers. And they had an article in there describing what some producers were feeding beef in feedlots. When I got to the part about cattle still gaining weight on a diet of up to 15% time-expired chewing gum, I decided that I couldn't eat that. That was not beef that I was going to eat. And
yeah.
I'm not preaching vegetarianism. I am preaching healthily raised meat.
Yeah.
It was shortly after that I got my own cattle, and my health has just improved so much since I've started eating food that is grown by me or grown very locally to me. We have a very good farm in right next door to me that is running a CSA, which is community supported agriculture, and mm-hmm. I go down there during they're actually open 12 months of the year now. I go down there and get my very local vegetables.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm much healthier. What it's like to run a farm of ecological or otherwise, way too much work for one person, which is why I'm backing off of that somewhat. Even if your goal is to feed, you know, a family of four, one person can't do it.
Yeah.
You need the whole family to pitch in and help.
Mm-hmm.
There are, running a farm is really hard. You're on 24/7, 365 and a quarter days a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it's something that is much better done with a large supportive community running the farm rather than a small family.
Yeah. How can our listeners become more green in simple ways that they can integrate into their lives?
Well, the easy answer to that is come to my workshop in March at Myths and Maidens, which that's on the temple calendar.
Yes, it is. I don't have the date on me right now, but I'll tell you later.
We'll spend 2 hours on that topic.
Awesome. That's cool.
a couple of really easy things that you can do. If you haven't done it already, replace all of your incandescent light bulbs with either compact fluorescent light bulbs or LED bulbs. A thing that's fairly easy to do is to give yourself an energy audit. I'm blanking on the name of the organization. NEASE.org.
Okay.
On their website, they have a form that's basically an energy audit and steps you through all of the places where your home is using electricity and lets you basically add up how many kilowatts do I use a day,
mm-hmm.
and where can I cut those back. A really easy thing to do is to take everything you have that has a remote control that is instant on, that has, you know, a clock or a light, blinky lights that are always on, and put them on a power strip. And when you're not using them, turn the power strip off. Those things that always have that little tiny draw, those are called a phantom load. And they sit there, and even though they only draw a little bit of power, they draw it all the time. And that really adds up.
Mm-hmm.
And it adds up on your electric bill. Not, you know, and anything that will not only save energy over a long range period that will make a difference, it will save money, yours, right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other really simple things that just require a little bit of brain power. And again, not only saving energy, saving you money. If you have a bunch of errands to do, combine them.
Mm-hmm.
Go and make a loop. Don't go out and come back and go out and come back. That's not only wasteful of gasoline, it's wasteful of your time.
Yeah.
Hang your laundry instead of using a dryer, if you have the space to do it. It's pretty easy. I have some wooden racks.
Yeah.
And this humidifies your house at the same time, which which is really good in the winter right now when we're all having to heat stuff.
Yeah.
The most important thing about being conscious of our ecology and being conscious of how much energy we're using is, in fact, just to be aware of it. Take the second to think, what am I doing? You know, how is this action that I'm having, that I'm doing, having an effect?
Mm-hmm.
How much gasoline am I going to use to do it this way versus doing it that way? I turn on this light bulb. Do I really need all of that light? Or do, you know, can I get away with less?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or does that need to be an incandescent light bulb?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or would a compact fluorescent that provides the same amount of lumens do the job just as well? And the price of those has come down significantly recently.
Yeah. And they do last longer, right?
Well, yes, they do.
Yeah.
I have compact fluorescent bulbs in my home that we put in 1992 that are still working. In fact, since 1992, we have broken one and burned out two. And that's probably out of 20 light bulbs.
Yeah, that's a pretty good record right there.
On the other hand, I have heard reports of people whose power source is solely the grid power.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have such a good track record with them.
Oh.
Because the power generated by our home system is much cleaner and has much fewer fluctuations in it than the power coming across the power lines.
Yeah, it's more constant.
Mm-hmm. It is. Mm. And one other green thing before we move on here. And this is more of an economic thing. When you are buying things, think about where your money is going. When you're buying food is a really important one. We all need it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all need it to be healthy food.
Yeah.
How far did that food travel to get to you? Where are your dollars going? Are you going to the farmer's market down the street and giving your money directly to the hands of the farmer? Are you going to the Hannaford or the Stop and Shop and handing your money to the clerk, and that money goes to corporate somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Of every dollar that you spend at the grocery store, less than a penny goes to a farmer.
Wow.
Yeah. Farmers aren't doing so well in this country. And so the more food dollar that you can spend on a direct local source, the better off the economy is going to be, the better off that farmer's life is going to be, and you're going to get better food out of it because it hasn't traveled 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 miles.
And part of eating things that are grown locally, if you have allergies, is that you're getting things from the local land, and your reactions to what is in your local area stops being as fierce.
That's a very good point. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's, you know, like using honey that is grown in your, or is produced in your area,
yes,
will assist you in not being as allergic to things that are in your area.
That's absolutely true.
All right. So our last question, it's not a hard one. On your farm, you have horses. Do horses have a spiritual connection to you? Because there are many goddesses that are attributed to horses.
The horse thing is very much less witchy. I grew up with horses.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, through my childhood and into my teen years, pretty much my only friends. That bit about being medium, I was really weird.
Yeah. And the horses, they didn't
and
care.
The horses didn't care. They were going to be my friends. I was pushed a little bit to be competitive, mm-hmm. but now not only I get a lot of joy out of riding out in nature and making that nature connection and having that kind of meditative walk in the woods experience with my horse as much as I get out of the more kind of intense meditative experience of actually competing, where all of my focus is, it makes me very focused and very easy to, like, everything else is not there. It's just me and the horse and our task.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a big passion for me. And also, you know, as I said, it's not really a witchy thing. It's a thing that I grew up with.
Yeah.
And I can imagine probably some of those goddesses that are associated with horses have probably helped me along.
Mm-hmm.
I hope by now I've thanked them enough.
Well, this is very good. Well, we'll say goodbye to our listeners, and yay. Bye, listeners.
Bye, listeners. Thanks for listening.
I hope you enjoyed our interview. That website, again, was www.nhsea.org for the Northeast Solar Energy Society. You can click on the Walk Your Talk part of the website, and it will give you a PDF that will calculate your green energy score. Also, to say again that Jocelyn will be teaching a class on March the 23rd on environmentalism and witchcraft. Recently, we had our Yule celebration at the Salem Masonic Hall, and we had a great time. We raised a lot of toys for Toys for Tots. We had an amazing amount of people for Yule. I was very surprised. And just the overwhelming gifts and things that were given for the toy drive were amazing. I also want to give a thanks to Dawn, our kitchen witch of Kachina Aurora. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. She did a marvelous job catering the whole event, and she did that as her own donation to the temple. And everyone, the food was great, and we had so much fun. Also this Yule, we introduced our temple store to keep our 501c3 status. We had to have just one seller that was under the temple at the events, unless we were going to open it up to be like a bigger thing, such as the Beltane Festival coming up, where we're going to have psychics and people who are vending there. I believe the Aquarius ministry is helping the Pisces ministry with that. So that's what we're doing instead of having a class that day. But we had lots of fun. The Virgo ministry put together, with the help of Alex, a lot of books, a lot of pendulums, incense. We really tried to get what we thought people would like, and I was really pleased with the way it turned out. It really was great. We have a lot of reasons to celebrate for our temple. We have obtained our 501c3, which means we are tax-exempt federally, and this is a big thing because now we can do a lot more fundraising for our temple space and get that ball rolling more because any donations to the temple are tax exempt. So that's pretty cool. We're very happy about that. It was a very long process. And that's what it means for the temple, basically. I've had a couple of people ask me, you know, does that mean we're getting a temple space right now? And, you know, all of that. But it just means that we are now tax exempt and can gather up more money so that we can buy a place in the future. Oh, and if you can't get enough of me and need to know more about what is going on with me, you can check out my website. Just Google Adam Sartwell and you should come up with my website. and you can look on there, and I have a blog about my own process through Witchcraft 3 and some of my experiences during that process. I'm just going to say our devocation. We thank the Great Spirit and the two who move as one. We thank the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. We thank the God and Goddess who move through us and work with us. May we recognize your presence in our lives. Blessed be. You've been listening to Voices of the Temple. The contents of this podcast are copyright 2010 of the Temple of Witchcraft. For more information, please visit templeofwitchcraft.org.